Welcome everybody to another episode of HomeKit Insider. It is Andrew here along with my pal and the original voice of Scrappy Doo, Steven. How you doing, man?
I'm doing well, Andrew. This is the last episode of 2020 and it's episode 30. It's crazy.
How crazy. I can't believe we're through this year, through 30 episodes of this podcast. That is nuts.
Yeah, but it's awesome. But you know, I've done some podcasts in the past and I have to say, our listeners, for how quick the engagement came and the amount of people that are just loving HomeKit and even other guys that like cover HomeKit stuff but have supported HomeKit Insider and interacted with us on social media. Like, it's a really cool community of people in that smart home world, probably because it's still kind of niche, but it's been really fun. So can't wait to do a whole another year and do more HomeKit stuff as we head into 2021. So should we do like a show? Should we like do some news and then talk about HomeKit?
Yeah, I guess we might as well. I mean, unless we just wanted to brag that we made it through 30 episodes and then peace out.
It was a big deal. I mean, you know, 30 episodes. All right, well, let's hit some news. So Philips Hue, there's been leaks about Hue products that are going to be coming out in 2021. Two of them, namely, one is a outdoor light bar. Looks like a pretty large light bar that you'd be able to use outdoors, you know, if you want to put it up against a wall or, you know, color a part of your house or maybe your deck, you know, if you wanted to kind of decorate that outside part of your house. So that looks really cool. Again, not a ton of details, but looking like it's going to drop pretty soon. And then also their like wall dimmer switch, they're actually going to be upgrading and adding some new features to that. So do you have any more details on either of those?
Yeah, I mean, I've used a lot of the Hue outdoor stuff and I've been really a fan of them. We've seen a lot of interest from our audience as well on those because there's really not a ton of outdoor HomeKit or even outdoor smart lights. So it's really cool to see Hue just completely conquering the space with more and more products. So the Wave Linear is really neat. And then the new wall switch, the new dimmer switch, I'm sure someone will correct me when I'm wrong. This has been around almost since like the original Hue gear launch. Like, this is one of their early Hue products that has never really changed. And again, it works with HomeKit. I'm really excited about this redesigned version. So it still has your wall plate. It's still magnetic, so it just pops right off, so you can move it around your house, do what you need to do. The new version has essentially three physical buttons. There's a top button, a bottom button. The top button has a little, like a physical bump on it, so you can actually differentiate like the top versus bottom, which you couldn't do before. And so typically we have like your on, off, and then the middle two are like brighten and dim. Now, instead of two separate buttons, there's a rocker in the middle. So it'll just rock back and forth between getting brighter and getting dimmer. So still the same kind of four buttons we had before, just with a new kind of three-button design. I'm really excited about it. It looks a little bit more sleeker than the previous version. And the way these work with HomeKit, if you haven't played with them, they're really cool with HomeKit because they work as four separate buttons and you don't even have to use them for what their purposes are. You can set them as four completely different commands if you'd like to, so you can have four different scenes, turn it on and off, just whatever you want to program them as, just four separate buttons inside of HomeKit. So really cool that they're finally updating a couple of these guys. And I really anticipate we're going to see these at CES.
Right.
We're, you know, a few weeks away from an all digital CES this year.
Wow.
Of course, I'll be there digitally covering any HomeKit gear and Apple gear that is launching. So stay tuned for a CES show, because you know we're going to have a ton to talk about, Steven.
That is true. I know, like HomeKit, smart home stuff, it's always a big deal at CES. Wild that it's all virtual.
I know. I'm so sad.
I know. Yeah, I'm sure. But I mean, last year, I guess it was still in person, right? Like they still did it?
Yeah, I was there.
Wow. That's nuts, man. Well, anyway, stay tuned for that. That's January coming, and so we'll talk about all that cool HomeKit stuff coming. So Netatmo, we had talked about the Netatmo smart video doorbell, but it wasn't yet available in the US, but now it is. You can go to Netatmo's website and you can buy it. This is, again, a competitor to like the new Logitech Circle View HomeKit Secure Video Doorbell. And it's $299, so $300 for this. It is wired. You connect it to power and all that. But if you were looking for a HomeKit doorbell, this is another option now. You can get it in the US if you're here. But now, correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew, but I'm looking on their website. This is not HomeKit Secure Video. This is just HomeKit.
No, not yet.
Right.
Yeah, so just like how it launched in the EU, it's launching without HomeKit Secure Video. HomeKit Secure Video is coming. I literally just talked to Netatmo, and they're like, oh, we're working on it. We're close. When it is ready, it'll roll out as a free software update. So it is a bummer that it doesn't roll out with that. The good news is that there is a ton of benefits just to Netatmo in general, because you do go through the Netatmo app, and there's a bunch of kind of smart stuff going on there that I've really enjoyed on the other Netatmo cameras. When HomeKit Secure Video rolls out, that just can make this a killer package between their own stuff that they're doing, HomeKit Secure Video, and I think the improvements in hardware compared to the Logitech, this is going to be a very tempting option for people.
Very cool. Well, yeah, it's an attractive option too. It looks nice. Last piece of news, Eve Energy, which is their smart plug, at least in the EU and Europe, it's gaining Thread. And imagine hopefully in the US it will be coming soon. But if you're all about Thread and you're trying to get in on that, the Eve Energy smart plug now supports that as well.
I know. If anyone missed it, last week we saw the rollout of Thread coming to the door and window contact sensors, the third generation of those. So now the Eve Energy EU version is getting its Thread promised update, and hopefully we see that come into more and more products here as they continue to roll that out.
So we thought for the end of the year, we'd do like our top picks, like Andrew and I's, like favorite things that came out this past year in 2020, some of the things that either products or apps or services when it comes to HomeKit. And so we're going to talk about that in just a second. But before we do, Dennis Elledge, he got one last question in for the year 2020. He was asking us about some door locks. And so, Andrew, why don't you help out Dennis?
Okay, so without going through Dennis's whole question, essentially he's wondering what door lock recommendations we have, and basically, he wants a HomeKit lock. So he runs an accounting firm, seemingly out of his house, and he has a lot of people coming and going. So he's got an August lock on the front door, the Smart Lock Pro, I think, like the last generation, along with the August View doorbell cam. Mm-hmm. And he wants to kind of put a Smart Lock on the back door just to make sure that it is locked. And he's wondering if he should go with the, like, move his locks around, upgrade his lock to the new Wi-Fi-enabled version, or if he should go with something completely different altogether. And honestly, there's just so many different routes that Dennis could go here. There's a ton of options, but I would kind of hit the main points of these locks again. So with the Wi-Fi version, it is good that it doesn't have a hub, that you don't need to have the August Connect to go with it. But I will reinforce what we talked about when we did the review, which is that while this is a Wi-Fi connected lock, HomeKit still is only working via Bluetooth,
womp, womp,
just due to how, you know, HomeKit works. It needs like kind of that constant connection, and it would basically just drain the battery on August very quickly. For that reason, they're sticking with Bluetooth for HomeKit, and Wi-Fi is going to go through the August app, which is not a killer by any means, because you can still easily, I mean, I still use the August Connect app, or just the August app, or the Yale Home app, and it works great. It works okay, but it works well enough for what you need to do with the locks. So I do like that option. That is a good option, and that's what I currently have on my front door. I recommend it. I've got no issues there, but I would take that into consideration when looking at where you're placing these to make sure that you still have connectivity to like a home hub, like your HomeKit hub, for that Bluetooth connection. Depending on where both those doors are, I'd want to make sure that I have HomeKit connection near those if possible. So that is one thing to take into consideration when placing these. Second option is, if you're just looking for something different, there's a lot of different options out there, and a few that I really like. The ones that I'd probably recommend if you're looking for something outside of August would be the Level locks, both the Level Lock and the Level Lock Touch, which I think they actually renamed to something else. But those two locks, so one completely replacing that exterior deadbolt with that touch-sensitive version, which is super cool. There's the little card key fobs to get in. And then the hidden one is just really nice because it's so seamless, blends into your door, works great. Everything is over Bluetooth. So those would be kind of my go-tos if I wasn't going with August. Either of those are very solid options to choose.
Gotcha. Very cool. Well, I hope that helps you out, Dennis. And now we're going to do our top picks of the year. Andrew and I are going to kind of go back and forth and talk about our favorite either apps or services or products that we've messed around with and got this year. So we're going to go back and forth, two and two. And my first two picks are actually not products. They are apps and or services. And I'll explain more in a second. But these were two things that I really may not even discovered this year, but I've really dove into this year. And the first one is the Logitech Harmony. It's a third-party app for the Mac, and we talked about it in a previous episode. I'll find a link to that show so we could talk more about it. Or if you want to learn more about it, you can listen to that episode. But the Harmony app for Mac, if you remember, it's a third-party thing. You install it on a Mac. It's going to have to be on a Mac that's running all the time if you want to make sure it's always available to you in the Home app. But it talks to your Logitech Harmony Hub, which I have one of those hubs that controls my home theater system. And you can connect the hub and the activities that you have programmed in that hub to HomeKit, and then you have those actions in HomeKit. And so, honestly, I just love this thing. I use it literally every day. My kids use it every day because they turn on and off the whole home theater system with Siri. They actually talk to the HomePod and it turns on or off, you know, and then they might control it with their iPad and use the little Apple TV remote control center thing there, or they'll find the physical Logitech remote. But in my experience, it's just been rock solid. It's been super fun to use. And I have it actually programmed into a couple Siri shortcuts as well. It's about $2 or $3. I'll put the link in show notes again. But the Harmony third-party app for Mac that connects it to HomeKit, I just love it. And again, it's been super solid for me. And then my second pick, again, this is not an app, but this is a service. You've heard us talk about it before, but HomeBridge. I finally dove into HomeBridge this past year. I have it running on a Mac Mini that's kind of dedicated basically to that and a couple other like background task things like Plex or whatever. And I don't have it, you know, I don't really access this Mac for anything. It's really just for that. And when used in that way, it is rock solid. And like you've heard me talk about before, I have a Vivint security system. And with Vivint, I have a lock for my front door and some sensors around the house. And I've never really been able to integrate it with my HomeKit stuff. But HomeBridge, whatever plugin was updated this year for Vivint, it has made it just a seamless experience where I can literally unlock and lock my front door. That lock made by Vivint in the Home app. I do it with my Apple Watch all the time. If I get groceries and come home, I tell Siri to unlock the front door. And that's also been super solid. And so HomeBridge, if you have not checked it out yet, and maybe you have smart home devices, but you don't want to buy new ones just to get HomeKit capability, but you want to see how does the Home app work? Can I find, you know, good shortcuts that utilize it? I highly recommend just try HomeBridge. Even if you don't have a Mac, you can dedicate to it. If you have any kind of desktop, like an iMac, a Mac Mini, an older one, install HomeBridge. It's totally free. You can get the plugins for free. Look for those verified plugins with a check and try it out. See if it integrates. You know, it integrates with my old Wemo devices. It integrates with the Vivint security system and a couple other things. So again, really useful. I highly recommend. It's a little intimidating because, you know, you got to go to GitHub and you got to do all this weird stuff. But honestly, like I'm not a super savvy programmer by any means, and I'm able to do it without issues. So I encourage you to try out HomeBridge this coming year. Andrew, what are two of your picks?
Well, by the way, on HomeBridge, I always think this is the one of the coolest parts about it is the fact that there's so many options for it. So aside from doing what you're like running it on your Mac or something, the fact that you can run it on a Raspberry Pi, like do the self-install, run it on a Pi, good to go. Or you can go something even simpler and pay the, I don't know what it is, maybe $50 or something, but go through Hoobs, the HomeKit out of the box or HomeBridge out of the box, and just buy a Raspberry Pi with Hoobs already loaded on there and use that for HomeBridge. Like HomeBridge is so cool and it's really kind of entry-level way to start really tinkering with your smart home stuff. So you can go with Hoobs or install yourself or run it on your Mac. I think it's very easy to get started and you can really get in there and start kind of playing around with things. So sorry to piggyback on one of your ideas, because I have a whole list of things that I have on mine. It's kind of funny how a lot of what I'm looking at on my list here that we're going to talk about is a lot of it's late. I kind of really try to think about what has changed and what I'm using day to day in my house that kind of happened over this past year. And I assume it's because of the pandemic that kind of delayed a lot of these launches until late in the year. But a lot of this stuff is like just kind of recently, you know, hit our homes. And the first one on my list is the Logitech doorbell, the Logitech Circle View wired doorbell camera that just came out. And I know I had a lot of issues with HomeKit Secure Video last time we talked about this, but this really is the first HomeKit Secure Video doorbell that makes sense. Even if I've had issues with it, it has still been much nicer to have this thing through HomeKit. I just had, you know, someone at the house yesterday ring the doorbell and I'm sitting here at my desk and boom, my HomePod just rings me. I'm like, oh my gosh, that is so nice. Rather than, because I didn't have my phone, my watch is charging because I use it for the sleeping and I had it on the charger and I'm like recording AirPods Max footage. So I had my phone on like do not disturb. So I wouldn't have seen a notification come in and there's my HomePod chiming at me. So I just love that integration with HomeKit. So as the first real consumer level affordable HomeKit secure video doorbell, the Logitech Circle View wired doorbell makes my list.
All right.
The August Wi-Fi is also on my list. Again, funny enough that we had just talked about this with our user question, but this is the door lock that I use. This launched this year, and I do like it as an upgrade from a previous version. It is smaller than the August Pro. I do like the Wi-Fi connectivity because I do use the August app quite a bit, and it's easy to run some of the automations through the August app versus HomeKit, because some of the HomeKit ones on location require you to use it prompts you to do you want to run this? Are you leaving? Are you those kind of things. So I like that there's that automated feature with that. It can even automatically lock for you. And of course we use it every night when I run my good night scene. So smart lock for the door has been always one of my essentials. And this year I finally got an upgrade that I've been hoping for a few years. So even though I wish HomeKit worked directly through Wi-Fi, I still think this was a step up and it's still very high on my list. And this barely beats out the level ones, for what it's worth. The level is right there.
Yeah.
Just not what I ended up using on my house. I guess we're back to you. What do you got next?
All right. Well, let me hit you with two. I've mentioned this many times over our last 30 episodes, but because of the age of my house, which it does look like I'm moving in 2021, and so I'm going to have lots of projects to discuss, and I'll be trying out some video doorbells because I will not want to be paying for a security system in the new house. I'm going to go probably with some Abode type system and some doorbell stuff so I can kind of just pay for that monitoring when I want to. But anyway, that's a side note. But when it comes to light switches, you know, I've found that one of the most useful things is swapping out a light switch with a smart light switch, because you know it's always going to be able to be controlled, whether it's on or off. It's easy for someone to use if they don't have smart home features, and it can control, you know, a chandelier or a ceiling fan. And so I just love switching out light switches because I find it's really useful. And for me, because I do not have a neutral and my options are very, very limited when it comes to light switches, I still have found, I know I sing their praises all the time, they've never sponsored the show or reached out, but Lutron is just an incredible light switch, and I have them all over. I actually just replaced another one last week and kind of completed my whole first floor. So when I say good night or good morning, or I run that scene, like my entire first floor is just like covered. Like it's going to do everything I want. And they're just super solid. You know, it does require a bridge on like some of the other, you know, maybe newer light switches. You know, I really love to try the Eve ones. And when I do move next year, you know, I definitely want to try some of those, like the Eve and other ones that require a neutral, but don't require a hub. So I'll be trying those out. But Lutron is just super solid. And so if you're looking into light switches, again, I highly recommend them. And then my next pick, I'm going to split up cameras, because there's a very different kind of camera you can get for outdoor and indoor when you're looking at HomeKit cameras, especially HomeKit secure video ones. So I'm going to give my favorite indoor camera. And for me, for the value and for what it does, and it's actually been very solid as a camera, but the Acara G2H, I have it set up in a room and it works great. You know, all the HomeKit secure video features, you know, it acts as a hub as well. So if you wanted to get into some Acara products, but you didn't want to buy just the standalone hub, the camera acts as a hub. And I have to say, this is a pretty cool feature. I mean, kudos to Acara for figuring out how to implement that and make it one product. But the Acara G2H camera for your indoor needs, I really love it. And I've liked my G2H. Those are my next two picks. What about you, Andrew?
Nice, nice. I approve of both of those. I have that Acara G2H and it is very nice. It brings up my issues of my fear of contact sensors, because I more or less have to have like five on every door
right,
because of HomeKit's inability to play nice with one another. Mm. Like I've got the ones for like my Abode that actually trigger the alarm and stuff. And then I've got ones for the Ecobee system that does its whole thing. And you kind of have that hidden one for the August that tells if it's open or closed, but doesn't show up in HomeKit. And then I've got a normal HomeKit sensor. So it's like a whole thing going on with contact sensors. But yeah, the G2H is a great camera. For my next two on my list, HomePod Mini. Mm. We've been using, I can't tell you how many times I've gotten speakers from my wife, and there's some, she just doesn't use them. Like, I don't know if she just doesn't like it or doesn't use it. Something has always been about it that she never really like jumped onto any speakers that I've gotten her to put in her office or anything like that. HomePod Mini, She loves it. She is listening to podcasts and music and stuff all the time. It has increased her Siri usage in the house tenfold because she's using it to turn on her office lights now. And she's been really, really liking it. And I've been loving it. I love having an additional one here in the studio for getting doorbell alerts, for playing music off of, and of course, Thread support, which moves on to my next thing, which is the Nano Leaf Essentials line. The Essentials line has been great. They are cheap / affordable, whatever, you know, verbiage you want to use, but they're low cost, they work with Thread, and they're some of the best specs on the market for brightness and colors. So both the light strip and the bulb, I use both of them regularly, and they have been amazingly solid with Thread and my HomePod Mini. So those two are definitely on my list. As kind of an aside with Nano Leaf, I also love their new shapes line. Like, they've got the mini triangles, and they've done a really good job of expanding their portfolio of lighting panels. So those were also in there as like an honorable mention.
Very good. All right. Well, I'm going to give two more product picks, and I'm going to go to the outdoor camera section now. And, you know, I've tried some older cameras that weren't HomeKit. I've done Canary, and there was one other outdoor camera I did. But right now, my favorite outdoor cam is the Logitech Circle View. Not the doorbell, just the camera. You know, you do plug it into power, but it is HomeKit Secure Video. And I have two of them around my house. And again, when it talks, just talking about solid performance and reliability, the Logitech Circle View has been great. I think it has great video quality. It's got great coverage as far as range. Also, the ability just to turn and twist that thing in so many different ways. You know, you can have one screwed into my deck, and you know, you could turn both the camera and the base, swivel it 360 degrees, all different kinds of ways. Then I have another one in my backyard that's kind of precariously perched, not screwed in, but it's worked great. It's lasted through many Florida storms and rains. And once I actually plugged it in so it was actually weatherproofed for the plug, they've been rock solid. So for outdoor camera, I really love the Logitech Circle View. And then one more product pick for me, and then I'll talk about what I want to see in 2021. But the Eve light strip. You know, I know everyone loves light strips and all this kind of stuff, and I honestly just could not find a great place to use mine for a while. But now that we have the holidays around, we kind of decorated parts of our house. I put the light strip behind some decorations, behind some of that fake cottony snow. And I gotta say, light strip is really fun, you know, for that kind of decorative type thing and changing the color. I have it in a couple scenes, so it turns on in the morning and then changes color and all that. Plus, they brought adaptive lighting to it late in the year, which is kind of cool. And I finally did set adaptive lighting on my Hue lights and Eve light strip, so it did it automatically. I just make sure it like resets every morning to adaptive lighting. And it's been a lot of fun. And so the light strip, it's just kind of a fun product to use, especially if you have decorative stuff, you want to put it behind your TV or entertainment center. It really adds a lot of ambiance. So Eve light strip, that's my last product pick, and then I'll talk about 2021. But Andrew, hit me with your last.
I know, I have a few more.
I know.
I really just couldn't narrow this down. I couldn't narrow it down. I'm like going through everything. I'm like, this was a big year. But just to kind of finish out my list here, for my indoor camera that I kind of, my go-to recommendation would be the Eve indoor camera. Just all around great camera, supports HomeKit Secure Video, one of the few alongside the Logitech Circle View that you just mentioned, but the fact that it works exclusively with HomeKit and HomeKit Secure Video. And I always like the Eve app. So kind of partnering those together and getting a few more options in the Eve app for kind of tinkering with this, like being able to invert the video upside down and stuff like that. So I really like the Eve indoor camera a lot. I also love my Brilliant home switches. I literally had them for a while, but didn't install them until that HomeKit update rolled out. And they've been great. I use them to roll in my studio. Funny enough, and I had this like I had this listed up in our news items because I'm working on this last night, and I'm like listing out things of like the news items to cover for the day. And one of the things on was just thought on my head was how many times is my Brilliant switch going to trigger while watching Schitt's Creek? Because the one character's name is like Alexis, and my wall panel kept thinking I was saying Alexa. Uh-huh. And it's like, you're not signed into Alexa. And I'm like, it's doing it right now. Steven, it's doing it.
Well, you said it. What did you expect?
I know. Well, I just said the word. You can't even say the name. What happens if you have a person in your house that's named that? Like, come on. And I really wish you could disable that. So, and it's funny that I'm like ragging on Brilliant as I'm saying it's one of my favorite products. It really is. I love to be able to use Photos and HomeKit and the integrations with the Sonos and the August and other stuff like that. It really has been one of my favorites. I do wish you could completely disable and kill that Amazon Assistant integration instead of just like not signing in. But other than that, it is absolutely one of my favorites. The Hue Gradient light strip. We talked about light strips. The Eve light strip is great, but the Hue Gradient one is for the TV. And I've used a light strip on the back of my TV for years now. It is nothing compared to this Hue Gradient light strip. It is so cool. And this is my preferred way of watching movies and everything else. It's just amazing. I love using it for games and everything. It's just so cool. It's expensive, but it is absolutely cool. And then finally, for on the software side, HomeKit. On the Mac, we have had HomeKit on the Mac, but now we have the support for third-party apps on the Mac with macOS Big Sur. So we've got HomeCam, we've got Scene Cuts, we've got HomePass, we've got the Eve app on M1-based Macs. I am really excited to have deeper integration to HomeKit on the Mac. I mean, you're on your Mac there, you've got widgets and anything else. Like, I'd much rather sometimes just use what you've got in front of you rather than having to pull out your phone or something else to do something. So I'm really happy that Apple is continuing to push HomeKit on the Mac. I want to hear what you got for 2021, but looking at 2020, man, we had huge, huge time for HomeKit. I mean, we have our first couple HomeKit secure video doorbells. We had the first two HomeKit air purifiers launch with the Molecule and the Vocalink PureFlow. We've got the first, I believe, the first HomeKit dehumidifier or humidifier is launching from Vocalink as well. We've got HomeKit apps coming to the Mac. We had adaptive lighting launch for Hue and for the Nano Leaf line and a few others. All those new video features for HomeKit.
Yep.
I mean, activity zones, facial recognition. This has seriously been like one of the biggest years for HomeKit. And I feel like the list of products that launched this year for HomeKit was just huge. I mean, we saw how many cameras launch. We saw Acara just explode in the HomeKit space. It's been nuts. It has been absolutely nuts. And that is with like the pandemic and stuff going on. So that gives me a lot of hope for 2021. So what do you want to see in 2021? Starting off with CES in weeks, days, like not far away.
Yeah, so I would say in 2021, I would love to see more players in the space. You know, that was actually one of our feedbacks during the year was, you know, can you cover other companies? And it's like, well, we'd love to if they existed, you know. And like you said, Acara really jumped into the space this year. Molecule, the air purifier, added HomeKit. So there are more brands coming to HomeKit, but it's still not at the level of things that work with Amazon Echoes and things like that. So I would love to see more players in the space, even if they're making similar products. Again, while I might be moving, if someone has an older house and no neutrals, their choices for smart light switches are pretty small. So, you know, just more players even making products we already have, but different brands making them. I'd love to see more players in the space. I would also love to see more alarm system options. You know, we've talked about Abode a lot and how it's kind of the on-demand monitoring and security system. But again, as I'll be moving, I'd love to have options for like home security systems, maybe even like a panel that you can get that integrates with HomeKit and being able to use some of those alarm system features in the Home app. I'd love to have more players in that space and more options there as well. I know there's some HomeKit garage door options, but again, as I might have a garage one day, I would love for there to be more options there just to be able to choose from, maybe offer some different features. While I do love the Logitech Harmony app and that integration with the third-party app, I'd love to see more home theater support in HomeKit. And I know we've kind of heard little rumblings about remote support in HomeKit, but we'd love to have like a receiver, maybe with HomeKit support, where you can really control different parts of the receiver in home. Like, it'd be awesome if one day you didn't need the universal remote for your system because Home did it all. You know, if you could write a shortcut that turns on the receiver, changes it to this input, turns on the TV, puts it on this input, and then you can control on your iPhone, you know, all the different aspects of the home theater. Maybe it's even changing channels and all that. Like, that's kind of a pipe dream. I'm sure that's farther away, but I would love to see that kind of in-depth home theater support in HomeKit. And These are more software features. I think it'd be on Apple to do, but HomeKit Secure Video, you know, we've talked about some of its shortcomings, even in last week's episode, as you were talking about the Logitech doorbell cam, but I would love to have that be a little more robust and also the ability to have more cameras. You know, now that we have the Apple One services bundle, you can actually have up to 4 terabytes of iCloud storage if you play your cards right and add that on to like one of those premier plans. And so I'd love the ability to have just a few more cameras, maybe even double that, maybe go from 5 to 10. Because if you want to be all in on HomeKit and not use any third-party camera stuff, you're only limited to 5 cameras right now. So would love to see that increase, that number of maximum cameras for iCloud storage. And then finally, you know, when it comes to the Home app on your iPhone, iPad, and now on the Mac, it's pretty good, and we have some great third-party options. But I would love to have a little more control over the control center options for my home devices. You know, right now you could put like a shortcut to the Home app in control center, and then it like intelligently surfaces some scenes and devices in control center. But you can correct me if I'm wrong, Andrew, but as far as I know, you can't like force certain devices to always be in the control center when you swipe down from the top right corner on your iPhone. And it's kind of annoying because like sometimes the device I want to control is in there and sometimes it's not. And so I'd love to be able to kind of hard choose which devices or scenes are in control center on my iPhone at all times so I can control that. And also, and I know I could do this with third parties, but on the Apple Watch, to be able to program a scene, I know I could do a shortcut. You know, you can create a shortcut that triggers a home scene and I can put that as a complication on the Apple Watch, but it'd be nice to not have to have a standalone shortcut. You know, I have scenes in my Home app that I just want to trigger on and off, and I'd love to be able to just have that scene on my Apple Watch face as a complication and just trigger it and it's the good night scene or the good morning scene. So just some little, you know, HomeKit and really Apple integrating more of those features, surfacing more of those options on their devices. That's what I'd like to see in 2021.
Have you heard of Home Run?
I know about Home Run and it works fine.
I'm just saying, yeah. That's your scene complication right there. It can change based on time of day. So you have that one complication.
And that's awesome. And like, again, third-party developers do an incredible job integrating with HomeKit and providing features that Apple hasn't implemented at first. But I also just like to have some first-party options because like I used WatchSmith, you know, underscore David Smith. He's got an app where you can, you know, do complications that change throughout the day. And it works well, but it's not 100%. Like there's still some times where the complications like don't show up. And I have to either update the app or reset the watch or do something funny. And again, this is not a knock on the developers because they're really kind of trying to work around Apple's systems a lot of the times. But I just find that the first party options, like when I put a Siri shortcut, an individual shortcut as a complication, it's always there. Like I can run it and it's pretty reliable and, you know, I don't do anything funny to get it back. And so I would just love to see that first party in the home scene type stuff as well.
I agree. I think there's a lot Apple can do, and it's a little sad that we're probably going to have to wait until WWDC in the middle of the year to actually hear some more HomeKit kind of changes. There's so much they can do with that HomeKit space, improving the HomeKit secure video cameras, support for those third-party contact sensors to work with alarm systems, so you don't have to buy the same contact sensors as your alarm system. And we just need more people to get their stuff pushed through. We don't have any HomeKit remotes yet. We don't have any really very many options at all for humidifiers or dehumidifiers. There's a lot of openings in the HomeKit space, let alone for other categories that Apple has yet to expand into.
Absolutely. Well, hit me with your 2021 picks or your hopes for next year.
I don't know. I'm riding a really good high on where we are with 2020. And my biggest hope is just the momentum continues, that we see more user adoption. We see Apple pushing this, including in their Apple stores, with more of those hands-on interactive displays on what HomeKit can do. And they need to fill in those gaps, what we're talking about with supporting third-party contact sensors for alarm systems, maybe those smart panels that we had talked about, improvements to HSV and their recognition, supporting additional cameras inside of HomeKit. There's a lot of those areas that I want to see expanded upon. monitoring, I think this is an area that Apple could grow on, especially considering their focus on eco-friendliness. Because I've been using like the Sense monitor on my home electrical box, and it gives me an idea of kind of what is using power in my house. And I think it would be that's a perfect HomeKit integration right there of being able to see what's drawing power in your house. It's a little bit more involved to do the install, but I think that's something that Apple can grow in. We've already saw it from, I want to say Legrand did it, partnering with Intatmo, because I think they're like the same company, but they started with a smart electrical box that includes support for HomeKit. So there are areas there that Apple can continue to push forward in. More companies coming into the market that are going to add HomeKit support. There's a lot to do, but I think we're getting there. 2020 was in an overall not great year. HomeKit seemed to come out pretty well.
Yeah. Well, once again, listeners, thank you all so much for an awesome year, for engaging with us and listening. If you haven't yet, we'd love a 5-star rating and review in Apple Podcasts. That'll help us out as we enter the new year and get discovered by more smart home fans and HomeKit fans. So do that and continue to tweet at us. If you have questions, use the hashtag HomeKitInsider. As we enter the new year, we're going to have to do a bunch more Q&As and help you guys out with whatever projects you got going on. Yeah, and if you're just trying out a new home project or HomeKit device, send us a picture on Twitter. We'd love to talk about it on the show and give you a shout out.
I'd love to hear what everyone is getting this holiday season as well. Yes. I mean, we're going into Christmas and Hanukkah and everything else. Whether you're gifting yourself with something or somebody else, I want to know what you guys picked up. And if you got something for someone else, go ahead and give them this podcast as well. Give them your gift of HomeKit. Yes. And then be like, also, here, listen to this podcast, and it'll tell you everything you need to know about your HomeKit home. So just marry those two together and just share this podcast. Share the love of the HomeKit Insider podcast. Yes. And let us know what you picked up this holiday season.
That just put me in the holiday mood right there. Give the gift of HomeKit Inside.
Yes, it is free, everyone.
That's right.
Free to share.
Free to share. Share it with the world. Share it with your loved ones. Send them those old episodes, too, because we talked about a lot of products that, I don't know, you might be getting or might be giving. So love that. And again, thanks for tuning in. We can't wait to see you guys all next year in 2021 with all the new HomeKit stuff coming out. Happy holidays. We'll see you next year.